So we celebrate the solemnity of Pentecost, dear friends. The gift of the Holy Spirit is nothing new. The gift of the Holy Spirit didn't just come with Jesus' resurrection and ascension into heaven. The Holy Spirit is not an invention. Genesis chapter 1, from verse 2 downwards, the earth was a formless void, and the waters raged and foamed, and the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. Chapter 2, and God created you and myself and breathed into us, giving us his Holy Spirit. And all of the prophets in the Old Testament, we always see the Holy Spirit at work at prophecy. Numbers chapter 11. Moses appointed 70 elders to help him, but before they got to work, the Spirit of God fell on them and they prophesied. Saul, in the book of Kings, book of Samuel, first book of Samuel, when he was anointed king of Israel on his way to look for his father's cattle, the Spirit of God fell upon him and he prophesied. And the people said, is Saul also among the prophets? Has prophecy ended? Not at all, dear friends. We'll get to that in a moment. And in the New Testament, we see today, in the Feast of Pentecost, when the disciples were afraid, locked up in the door, afraid that this good news that they were carrying would bring them ruin. The Spirit came upon them and conquered fear. And they opened the doors and came out to preach. Oh, and did they reap a harvest? Thousands of souls got converted. But something remarkable happened. They spoke in tongues. Most of them were unlettered, simple fishermen. But they spoke in tongues. They spoke the language that everyone there understood. I asked the question, has prophecy ceased? And I think it has not. I also asked the question, have we ceased to speak in tongues? I don't think we have. Even though Paul warned us, first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 13, verse 8, he said, if there are tongues and prophecies, they will cease. But one thing will ever remain, love. Love, which is the primary gift of the Holy Spirit to each and every one of us. We rejoice today, dear friends, because we are free to proclaim the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. We rejoice today because we are filled with the Holy Spirit from God. Every single one of us here was born with the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And we receive that Holy Spirit sacramentally at confirmation when we break all barriers holding us back from proclaiming the gospel, to profess our faith and have the bishop reactivate the Spirit that we already have. Receive the Holy Spirit and we say, Amen. Thanks be to God. We rejoice because we know we come fully to understand who we are. People who are no longer shackled by fear, just as the disciples did today, opening up the doors of the upper room, coming out to proclaim the good news of Jesus. That is what the Spirit does for us. But the primary question I want to address today, two questions actually. Has prophecy ceased? Not at all. Because prophecy is simply telling the truth about our situation. Prophecy is simply acknowledging that we, as rational human beings, can project and know what our actions today will cause for tomorrow. What our thoughts today will cause for tomorrow. That is prophecy. And the Holy Spirit of God continues to give that to each and every one of us. As long as we assess our actions, we are prophesying to ourselves and to others. Because sometimes we mistake prophecy for miracles. Oh, Elijah, he threw to the water and bitter water became sweet and all of that. These are but a tiny percentage of what the prophets did. They simply told Israel, this is what you are doing today. This is what the Lord God says it will lead you tomorrow. The good ones to good things, the bad ones to bad things. Therefore, as long as we continue with the Spirit of God to continually assess our situation and ask ourselves, these thoughts of mine, these words of mine, these actions of mine, these things that I failed to do, where are they leading me to? Are they coming from God? We are living in the prophecy that the Spirit of God has given to us. Speaking in tongues. Paul gave the beautiful, beautiful, beautiful homily in his letter to the Galatians, chapter 5. Yes, he said some negative things. We don't want to go there. But those beautiful things that he said, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, Galatians 5, 22, 21, downwards. What did he say? That the fruits of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, gentleness, selflessness, generosity, patience, kindness. Dear friends, are these not ways that we speak in tongues? Let us cast our mind back to last month when that tragedy happened in Saskatchewan, the Humboldt tragedy. Did we not feel the love that the people, everyone poured on those people? That is speaking in tongues. Whoever gave anything or wrote anything about that tragedy warmed our hearts because they spoke a language that each and every one of us understand, the language of love and compassion, the language of trying to communicate to someone who is in pain, we are with you. Dear friends, that is how we speak in tongues today. Thanks be to God, there are people who are gifted with speaking in different tongues. They can speak different languages. But how many of us? The real gift is the gift of joy that anyone can recognize anywhere. Once we see joy being communicated, we know already and we feel a warm glow in our hearts. When we see kindness, we recognize it immediately, even without words being spoken. And we feel a warm glow in our hearts because that is a language. These are the languages that the Spirit of God has put into us. We are all blessed because we have it, dear friends. We have it because we have faith. And Paul said something that is very important. After listing all those fruits of the Holy Spirit, he said, and no law can touch these. Dear friends, the fruits of the Holy Spirit are not bound by laws. If they were bound by laws, the disciples would not have thrown open the gates of the upper room to come out to preach because the law prohibited them from preaching in that name. But they did. We cannot bind love, joy, patience, kindness by law. In the Old Testament, we see a priest, Ahimelech, bound by law that no one except the consecrated priest should eat the consecrated loaf. But when David, hungry and running for his life, a fugitive from the law, came to him and said, I and my men are dying of hunger. Do you have anything to eat? Ahimelech told him, I have nothing but the loaf of consecration. But he gave these to David and his men because he recognized that even the God of anything, the majesty of God, pales in comparison to anything that we can do to dampen the kindness that God has given to humanity. The God of love, who humbled himself to come as our Lord Jesus Christ, does not count majesty and awe and rules and regulations any more than the lovely, lovely gift he has given to us. And that was why Jesus said, the Sabbath was made for humanity and not humanity for the Sabbath, recognizing that the laws of the Sabbath stop where the needs of each and every one of us begins. And that was how Jesus lived in this life, breaking barriers, telling us that laws should not bind the love, the joy, the peace, the kindness that God has given us. He touched lepers. He went to the town of Samaria that the Jews don't go to. He went to places that people will, what are you doing? He did that to show us that the Spirit is boundless. Paul reminds us in the letter he wrote to his spiritual son that even though we have faith, we must always, time and again, reactivate the Spirit of God that is in us. I always think of it like someone drinking a cup of tea or chocolate or something. From time to time, you stir it. Why? Because the lovely things in the tea will go to the bottom and sediment there. If you stir it, the sugar, the milk, the flavor, everything comes up once more. He said to his son Timothy, as he's saying to each and every one of us, fan into flame the Spirit of God that has been poured into your heart by the imposition of hands. He said, it is not a spirit of timidity and fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-control. Peace be with you.